Mr. Douglas, Reel 9, you mentioned before there that you slept for a long time when you came back. It must have been quite a stressful experience.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was a very, very stressful period just before, you know, for, I don't know how long it would be, a week, fortnight, 3 weeks, you know. And as I say, it was, you were on tents, you know, and being dive bombed. You know, you didn't have much to eat, and you didn't have any sort of real rest, you know, you had to be tense. And it was a sort of relaxation when you got back, and you could relax, you know, you knew you could relax. I remember it was Winchester I went to, and they put me in a stable place, and I just went off, and that was it. And I must have slept for 24 hours nearly, but I hadn't had much sleep for weeks. It seemed, you know.
How did you do for sleep whilst this period was going on in France, while you were retreating? What did you do for sleep? How did you manage to get any sleep?
Well, you slept in snatches, sort of thing, you know. The situation was so vague, and you never knew where the Germans were, you know, behind you, and then you fight them, and then you never knew whether the whole thing was absolutely chaotic, you know. You meet soldiers coming from somewhere, and then different mob altogether, you know, and and nobody seemed to know anything. The whole thing should never have happened like that. The whole thing was a bit of a shambles, I suppose. But
very chaotic.
Yeah. So, you know, the plane was flying over, and you'd get maybe few shots of the plane. Never seemed to have any effect, though. I don't know, never. And of course the refugees were all over, everybody was civilians was all retreating into France away from Germany. They were a big bit of menace in some ways, like, you know.
I guess they were in quite a state, the refugees.
Oh yes they were. It was pitiful to see them, you know, the few bits of things that pack on barrows, little two-wheel barrows, cars, and anything getting walking. The roads are absolutely crammed with refugees, crammed, and a lot of them were shot by machine guns. There were a lot of dead people lying each side of the road, you know. Just, what could they do? Just shove them back, and it's a question of survival. They wanted to be away. It's a funny situation, that, you know. People wanting to be. And then the aircraft came that quickly, you know. You imagine them, I suppose, if they would just see a road crammed with people. And there was British soldiers among them, and French soldiers. And of course, they would see them and say, well, they're soldiers, and that's it. If a civilian gets killed, and that's it. Machine gunned the road. That was it. Whoever got hit, got hit. Whoever didn't, got missed.
How did this make you feel? What was morale like?
Very bad. Very poor. We were retreating. That was a terrible thing to me. At least that, you know, I wanted somebody to fight, and there was nobody. As I say, I was fortunate to have been with this RASC group. They floated on where, I don't know where he was getting his orders. He must have got orders from over wireless or something, I don't know, but there was no real static defense, you know, where you could. I was just under him, and I was going to make sure, like, if anything happened, I was going to put some sort of a show up, sort of thing, you know, if we get them out. Last year, we did see Germans, but we never were attacked with the Germans. Not German soldiers, like, not when I was that column. I saw them and prepared for them, but they just didn't come. They went elsewhere. Didn't see us. Probably mustn't have. Or unless they didn't. I don't know whether they would probably have other orders, maybe. Because that was the thing. Well, the thing was to. Get out past you, round you, behind you, sort of all the way. This must have been the strategy, I suppose, to get round, and then you sort of where the hell are they? They're behind us, gunfire. You know, what can you do? And it was a time of low morale. We'd been beaten. That was my sort of feeling. They'd beaten one, that was a terrible thing. It was because we thought we were as good as Germans. Because the thing was that the high command must have went into that with the sort of feeling of the last war, trench warfare, and that's possibly what would have happened if the Belgians hadn't laid down their arms, you know, and stuck it out, then you know, we might have been able to get some sort of a. But when they just capitulated 2 or 3 days less, and of course they came through Belgium, we weren't allowed to go into Belgium, and that's where the first real fighting was, of course. And then they came down through the Ardennes, and even the French command weren't prepared for the fast, swift sort of advance that the Germans made. And they went so fast that really they outran themselves, you know. I think that's the reason why, possibly why so many men got away from Dunkirk. You know, they were way in front of all their supplies, all their. I don't think I can imagine them even imagining such a swift advance as what they did get.
How large was this unit that you found yourself in? How many men were in this unit that you found yourself in?
Well, there was just the RAC and my half platoon sort of thing, and that was it. And as I say, they hadn't a clue. They were drivers and looking at the lorries. There was maybe a dozen of them. But I taught them how to load the rifle and gave them an idea how to aim it, you know. And I don't know what happened. If I ever come into action, I'd probably been too frightened to pull the trigger. I don't know. I couldn't imagine them doing much because, God, they weren't trained to fight. They were trained to bring supplies up.
So how did they react to the situation?
Well, they didn't seem too worried somehow. You know, they were a bit worried, of course. Everybody was a bit worried the way the situation was. But I wasn't. So much, they came under their own NCOs and that, you know, we were just with the platoon. Had to go with them where they went, and I said we couldn't leave them. I could have just buggered up, but where was I going to go? I didn't know where my unit was. I didn't know anything. I had to stick with them, and in a way, it's just as well, because otherwise I possibly wouldn't have got back.
Do you have any specific recollections of any of these men, any of the NCOs or the men that you were with at this time? Do you have any specific recollections of them?
No, not much, apart from the fact that they seemed to have plenty, well, they had food with them. So we did get some food, of course they were with them, and they had their supplies with them. They carried a certain amount of supplies, food, so we got fed a bit off them. And but they were all right. They were just weren't fighting troops. You know, they weren't fighting troops. They'd never. I don't know what the British people were thinking about, because to have people like that, you know, the. But that's the other thinking was based on the last war. When they sort of people very rarely came even under gunfire, never mind in action, you know. And this was the thing. They carried supplies up so far, and that was it. They went back and got more. So they didn't consider themselves as fighting troops.
So what happened when you got back to England?
Well, they put us on a train. There was a lot of troops. But I see I came back and the boat was full of troops. And where the people, I was surprised, because I thought the people would have been, you know, a bit derisive of us being getting beat. But they were really good. The people were, you know, they giving you sandwiches and tea. And the poor devils couldn't have had a great lot themselves. But of course, it was early in the war. The rationing wasn't really severe then. But the cheers and all that, and that helped a lot.
I was going to ask, how did that make you feel?
Oh, yes, it made us feel a lot better. And I say, once I got a good, honest sleep. And then the putters took us away to... That was in Winchester. I remember going up a hill and looking. The air was good and, you know, nice fine weather. And then we went to see a film. They showed us the Mikado, it was. I remember the film was a Mikado. And I remember they repeated the songs, you know, twice. Dooney, was it? Dooney. I think that was the name of the singer. It was an American film, of course. And then they sent us to Rugeley, which was a camp for sorting things out. And there was a big lake there. I don't know. Some big house. I don't know what it or where it was. I can't remember that lake. But I know they went into this lake and we were having a swim. And then from there we got leave.
How long were you at Rugeley then?
Hmm?
How long were you at Rugeley?
Just a few days, 2 or 3 days.
Were you back with your own unit then? Or?
No, just a big heap of men, you know, that didn't. And then we got leave from there, and then. We had to report, but after leave, we got a fortnight's leave, home leave, like.
And you were married by then, is that right?
Oh, yes, I was married. Uh-huh. So the leave was handy, like, you know.
What did your wife react to you? You'd been to war by this time, of course.
Well, I suppose
she... How did you adjust back to home life?
Pleased to see us, then. Because they hadn't... you know, much idea of people at home of what are, they knew that they'd come out of France. I suppose they didn't realise that we'd been defeated, beaten. They were just happy that the army had got back safe, you know, and hadn't been destroyed, I suppose. And it was good to be home, like, you know. after what I've been through, got you back to normal sort of thing. Got things in perspective. And realised why we've still got an army, you know, we've been chucked out of France. But after that you sort of tended to put the blame on the Belgians and the French, you know, that was when you thought hell, it wasn't us, it was them, but it was the let we're down. You know, it wasn't us, we were all right. And we were all right. We were as good as any German. Better. But, that sort of thing, it got a nasty knock through the way things had happened.
So you felt more betrayed by the French and the Belgians than perhaps by your own commanders?
Yes.
What was your reaction to your own leaders?
Oh, yes, I would say that, yes. Yes, we were a good army. That's the way we thought we were good enough. And I remember the bloody Belgians, they were the ones. And you sort of tend to French, you know, because they weren't mechanized like the one. Their army wasn't as good as ours in equipment and things like that. It was we were a very up to date army. But really, the French fought well. I mean, it was their country, and they fought well. But you did tend to see where it was more their fault than ours. This is the way you've got to take that sort of attitude, haven't you? I've got to take that sort of attitude.
So how did you feel when your leave came to an end and you had to go back?
I was all right. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a bit sad having to leave your wife again. But you had to report, and that's when we formed into a unit again.
Where did you go to then?
We went down to Seaford. Seaford.
Where's
that? Down in Devon, on the coast, because it was the expected invasion. You see, we were one company at Charmouth, Seaford, the South Seas, whatever. I can't remember. Torbay. That's where we sort of got sorted out and got into units, you know, and got made up with reserves. Brought back into reasonable strength.
Did you go back to the 8th? Did you go back to the 8th Battalion?
Oh, yes. The 8th Battalion was reformed again. And, bloody name. I can't remember things now. The names get me, you know. But I remember Captain Clark was my company commander then. And he came into this sort of a barn place, or I don't know, school or something, and I'd got the men to hang the rifles up by the slings, you know, the rifle hanging down. And he was terrible. Oh, can't have that son, run, get them, put it up the other way, that's a sign of defeat, put your rifles up over us. So that had to be changed straight away. And that was one little thing. And we used to, I remember the Chesil Bank, when I was down there. That was a thing that I'd never seen anything like that before. Because we were on, as I say, the expected task. like they didn't fall in love, I suppose, an invasion.
Can you remember when it was, when you went down to the south coast? Can you remember when it was? What time of year?
It would be directly after leave we went there. We had a report back there, you know, and that's where we got sorted out again.
What were your billets? Where, did you go into a camp or into...
No, it was... There were...
Into billets?
There were houses and things, you know, because the coast had been cleared back, that everybody had been shifted back at least 2 or 3 miles. But at first, we were further back. We weren't on the coast at first. I suppose there'd be just sort of reforming, and then they'd get there. And then we went to this place down on the coast, right on the coast it was. And we had to keep a lookout for any invasion. We fully expected it, I suppose. So we said, we'll give them a bloody hot reception if they come. But nothing happened. Like it didn't.
So
you had to go around your units, you know, because those spread sparsely, you know, platoon here, platoon there, section. Well, you know, they were very thin on the ground, sort of thing.
So the battalion was brought up to strength, was it, whilst you were down
more
there?
More or less, yes.
How many of the old battalion that went out to France were left?
Well, not a lot, really. Not a lot. All the officers were different. Nearly all the officers were different. But as regards my own, you know, the 8th Battalion, nearly all the officers were different. And there was, I don't know, maybe a third of them, or less, of the battalion, I would think. It was made up, like, with various people, but not a... You knew everybody prior to that, but you didn't know many of them after.
Where did the new drafts come from?
I don't know. There were people who had been called up, you know, people who had been, of course, they were forming new battalions, and they had to take experienced soldiers, you know, to, because I went from there eventually to the 16th Battalion. We made the battalion, and they were formed, well, all the NCOs came from the Beds and Hurts Regiment. So that, you know, you're getting the people who are called up, conscripts and whatnot, and they're making battalions up to full strength.
How did these people fit into the battalion?
All right. Oh, yes, they fitted in all right. Of course, there were you had the nucleus of trained men, you know, men, some who had been in action, which counted for, you know, and they sort of trained them, got them in, made them into soldiers.
Were you re-equipped as well? Because I guess you must have left a lot of your equipment behind.
Yes, we re-equipped. We got fresh rifles. We had brains in that, because we were first frontline troops, sort of thing. I suppose some of them further back wouldn't even have any arms. I don't know, but we of course were brought up to strength with arms. And Brendan carriers, things they equipped us up because we were on the course, expecting just in case of invasion, I suppose.
What sort of defensive positions did you have them on the south, on the coast?
Well, just trenches and houses, sandbagged and, you know, chalets, anything that would, where you get a good field of fire and a bit of cover and that. That was it. Of course, where we were, weren't far from where the cliffs were, some cliffs further along. But where we were, just a shelving beach. But I think they call the place Seaford, not Seaford, Sea something. I've seen a map out sharp, so. I just can't remember names. On my tongue end, the names of the places. And I remember going with a motorbike with one of the officers just to peer the men out, you know. There were quite a distance, different places. Quite different places.
What was the accommodation like? Where were you actually living?
Well, as I say, in houses, you know, that were empty. People had moved, huts, chalets. I was in a sort of a chalet place. But just said there wasn't many houses there. They were further back. There was a little sort of a small town about 3 miles inland. But where we were was a seaside place, sort of thing. That's where we were, just after the war.
So what was your daily routine like whilst you were here on the...
Well, we had to stand 2 in the morning, of course, dawn. We had a building place. It had been started, but it was a homemade ladder thing up. We should get up there so we get a good view, you know, and there was always a man up there keeping an eye open in case anything came on the scene, but nothing ever happened.
It must have been quite tedious.
Really quiet time for us, really.
Quite tedious and boring.
Well, in a way, yes.
What did you do to occupy yourselves during the day?
Well, you had inspection of the men, say they were all right. It was parades, say they were shaved and washed and cleaned and. We weren't pulled off the course, watching all the time, sort of thing. But it got a bit monotonous, you know. After a while, got a bit monotonous, and then I went from there to the 16th Battalion. From there, the battalion went on to Taunton, somewhere near Taunton. Near there. Well, Taunton was part of the...
When did you go to the 16th? Can you remember when that was?
Winchelsea.
And when was that? How long had you been on the South Coast with the 8th before you went into the 16th?
Oh, just a few weeks. And... They were a different part of the coast. They were down at Winchelsea, Rye, that area.
And where were they? Where were they stationed at?
No. Before that, they were at in Norfolk, Lincoln. I can't remember names. So my tongue in. But that's where we went then. But this battalion had just been formed. There were just recruits. And as I say, a lot of the NCOs, the majority came from... There was one or two of Durham's went, like, you know. But the majority came from the Beds and Hurts, which was... a bit of a switch, because they were heavy infantry. We were light infantry. And my platoon, I remember there was a competition into platoon competition for the, in the corps. And I had